This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
LifeLock, how can I help?
The IRS said I filed my return,
but I haven't.
1 in 4 taxpaying Americans has paid the price of identity fraud.
What do I do?
My refund, though.
I'm freaking out.
Don't worry, I can fix this.
LifeLock fixes identity theft guaranteed and gets your money back with up to $3 million in coverage.
I'm so relieved.
No problem. I'll be with you every step of the way.
1 in 4 was a fraud-paying American. Not anymore. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/podcast. Terms apply.
Welcome to the Missouri Woods and Water Podcast with your hosts, Andy, Nate, and Micah.
Hi.
What's going on, boys?
Just chilling. We just got off our show with Drew, and then we talked for a while about some things. So we're all flabbergasted, you know, just kind of like, what do we do? How are we going to do this and that? So
yep.
It's a good problems to have, but...
Andy, how's your thermal season going so far?
Low.
Dude,
I have not yet killed a coyote myself in thermal.
Oh, really? I killed one. We never found it, though. Like, it's dead somewhere. Like, it was flopping in the field.
Does it count?
It ran onto somebody else.
It's in the truck.
It ran on somebody else's property. So we were like, nah, we kind of looked over the fence line, but we're like, yeah, we're not going
to. Still doesn't count.
It counts. It's dead. I know it's dead. But it was a really good night. A really, really fun night. We had double-double, double-triple quad. I could have been adding a double there. But so it was really eventful. So it was a lot of fun. I'll be honest, I did not perform the best. I'm definitely a little rusty behind the old gun there. But we just got to shape that up a little bit. We'll be all right.
Tighten it up.
So it's been fun.
Today's show.
I think I've called in 5 coyotes in the 3 times. I'm not called in. Actually came to call 5 coyotes. 4. Yeah. I've had almost every stand they howl respond, but they are not like wanting to work right now. So it's been slow. So that's within 3 nights of calling, 5.
I don't know. I mean, it's going good. We've all seen dogs, and it's just a slow start for us. But we'll tighten it up.
We'll get in there. We'll get in there.
We are recording this, by the way, on our Zoom call. This will be on YouTube, so make sure you go to our YouTube channel at Missouri Woods and Water. Like and subscribe, please. Help us grow that page. And today's show is with Drew Schlem, if I said that right. The host of the Predator podcast. If you haven't checked out that podcast yet, please do. It's a good show. He's got a lot of good guests, and it's strictly predator hunting related, so that's pretty cool too. You guys want to do
our kind of people?
Huh? Our kind of people. Yeah,
that's right.
You guys want to do our, what do you call those things? Sponsors, and we'll get into our show with Drew.
Let's do it. Morel Targets. I need to start shooting my bow again. I think I'm going to move my target down in the basement and just start shooting in my basement. Just getting, 10 yards, practicing?
I can't.
I mean, you could. You just
no, I can. I the lights over my head
mess with you too.
Mess
much.
With my eye.
Yeah,
yeah. And okay. So, like, I've got four different. It's weird. Back when I didn't sounds have my,
like,
huh?
Sounds like a you problem. I think me and Mike could. Though.
No, yeah, yeah, you can. I but before my basement was finished, I had a full 20 yards.
Yeah,
and I just for whatever reason it messes with my eyeball. I don't know why. So, but yes, Merrell Targets, check them out. I'll be getting out my big-ass Target, and I'd like to check out that new Mod Pro when it comes out. But a man can only have so many Merrell Targets. I've got several.
I don't know. Can you?
I don't know. Maybe you can.
I like having a lot of Targets.
But, what? Yeah, Weber Outfitters, check out our buddies over there at Hawk Point, WeberOutfitters.com.
New bows are coming down the pipe, so if you guys are thinking about switching it up this year, go test them out.
Go see if he's turned his hat back around yet or not.
This is the third week in a row we've talked about it, so I feel like we should just leave Josh alone at this point, right? He's either turned his hat around or he hasn't, right?
Go see Backward Hat Josh and get a new bow at Weber Outfitters.
I'm not going to talk that much crap. I wear my hat backwards every once in a while.
Yes, you do shout too. We get it.
Anytime I want to get your sister hot and heavy, that's usually what I do. Just turn her around backwards. That usually does it for her.
Okay.
Oh,
she looks like she wasn't raised right then. I was a bad influence on her. That's obvious.
Yeah.
Athlon Optics actually shot three of my rifles today. One of them was my night gun with my Kronos on it, my thermal, but the other two had my Aries on them. And boy, it was... crisp. I love that Aries, man. And I'll be honest with you, so the two guns I shot today, my day guns, was my 22-250 and my Christensen MPR 223. I know I haven't talked mad shit on the 223 lately, but you know, I did say it was
kind of that guy now, though,
right?
You're kind of known as that guy.
He's been talking pretty mad shit.
Yeah,
that MPR drove freaking tax. I kind of want to take it hunting. Just saying.
Take it.
But those, so on both of those guns, I have the exact same scope. The Aries ETR EHD, the 3x18x50. And it's pretty sweet. And I don't know. I still can't decide if I like it or the Midas TAC better. I like the reticle in the Midas TAC better, but that Aries was crystal freaking clear. I mean, at 200 yards, I would just shoot and be like, okay, yep, a little. I need to adjust a touch to the right, click, up. I didn't have to get up and go walking. I just looked. It was like I had a spotting scope, obviously, sitting right there. So, I don't know. It's pretty sweet. But find a dealer near you to find those Athlon Optics products. And like I said, if you're looking for one, you're not sure what to get, send us a message. We'll tell you what we run, what we like. We kind of have a nice little myriad of different scopes of theirs.
I think we got almost one of each. Coming close.
I'm pretty close to Nate, but mine, if I can merge the Helios and the Midas TAC together, that'd be my
perfect
jam.
Scope is what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. The Great. Midas TAC is only one thing I don't like about it, and that's it doesn't have locking top turret.
Yes.
Otherwise, it would be my... I mean,
neither
that,
does
that's
the,
literally the only thing I would change, and it's the perfect scope.
Yeah, neither does the Aries.
Yeah, the Aries doesn't either.
Yeah, but that would be right.
The Helios.
The Helios does, though.
Yep.
If I could put the Midas TAC reticle in the Helios, that's my jam.
That's your jam.
I get it.
So check them out. Midwest Gunworks, use our code 5OFFMWW for 5% off there. Speaking of guns, a lot of gun parts there. I just got some, the hell are those things called? The slots that you put things on your AR. What the hell is that thing called?
Slots.
Rails?
Yeah, the rail.
Picatinny rails?
So what?
Picatinny rails?
No, like the rails that... the
quad rails?
What the freaking hell are they called? Why is my brain not working
Arca
right now?
Arca rails.
No, like you screw it in. It's got the little thing. Clips on the back. It's a quick thing instead of the
QAD?
Old school. QAD, thank you, Jesus.
Idiot.
I mean, we went through every possible attachment.
We just built an AR, man.
Me a minute.
Right? Yeah.
Anyway, I bought
three parts away.
Shut up!
I bought a trigger and we'll fucking send one down range, boys. Let's go.
You can get I'm stay on track, Nate. I bought an ARCA rail for my Six Creed. It's a 12-inch rail. It'll use the screw for my action on the rear, and then the front is a QAD. That's not correct either.
This is your story, man.
Not correct either. What the hell? M-lock. I figured it out. It's M-lock. Thank you, Jesus. M-lock. I feel so much better right now. You have no idea. M-lock on the front. Well, anyway, that rail did not come with an M-lock screw. So I just hopped on MidwestGunworks.com and got one. Boom. Done. All that to say, I got an M-lock screw from Midwest Gunworks.
Jeez.
Rivers Edge Tree Stands, use our code Missouri10 for 10% off. Lucky Buck Mineral. I actually dumped mineral in two spots today because I went and pulled all my cameras.
I need to do that.
And, well, not all my cameras. In two spots, I pulled cameras. And while I was there, I just dumped a little bit of mineral because I had part of a bucket left and, you know, gave them a little sprinkle.
A little taste.
Because I'm guessing they're kind of in that mode where they're back to food, so they're probably back to mineral as well.
Right.
Check them out there, luckybuckmineral.com. On X, use our code MWW20 for 20% off. I'm sure we've been burning the hell out of their servers lately.
Oh, yeah, man. I mean, every day we're on it. So it's just one of the most useful tools we have as hunters.
As a hunter, I don't know what I would do without it.
Right.
Truthfully. Like, I really don't.
And hunters used to
do
it for
work. I use it for hunting. I use it for all of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Corey, I was listening to Corey's show with Drew on his podcast, Corey Groff, and he was talking about he uses that 3D feature all the time on X. And I really don't do it on my mobile, my phone as much. So I need to start doing that. Especially, right. I think, for new stands, like places he hasn't been before or whatever, trying to find that best spot.
Yeah,
that would make a lot of sense.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea. We should maybe start doing that. Maybe that's why he's so lucky.
He's not lucky. He's good.
Maybe that's why he's so good.
Yeah. Black Ovis, use our code MWW10 for 10% off.
Are they still running that sale? They had a deal where you could stack it.
That's a great question. Why don't you go there and find out, folks?
Yeah. Go to the website.
Check go to the out. Website, see if they're doing their winter sale too. And then Camo Fire, hop on that app, download the app. See the daily deals and see that Andy is wrong about Trail Cam Tuesday. It's not a thing.
Trail Cam Tuesday.
While you all are doing the next one, we're going to see.
And last but not least, Reveal Cameras by Tacticam. I just talked about it. I pulled all my cameras today. Not all of them, but some of them. And they're sitting in my office right now. I'll take batteries out, clean the lenses, stuff like that. And here in a short few months, they'll be out. I canceled my subscription like that. It was done. All I had to do was get on the app, go to the account, and cancel. And it was done. It's so easy to do that now. That's what I hated about my old cell cam is that you had to go to the website to, you know, cancel the subscription. It was just a little more of a pain in the ass. This is nice. So got that done. And that is the sponsors for today's show. Have you found out?
Andy, I don't know what just happened. I completely lost you guys for about I guess, can you hear me now?
Yeah, we got you now.
Yeah, Andy, I just want to let you know I'm on Camo Fryer right now, and there's not one single camera. So, you know.
And it's Tuesday.
Because they've already rolled till Wednesday.
No, it's 9:45.
There's still 2 hours and 15 minutes to go.
Dude, I checked. My phone died, so I have no way to
so. Seems like that's you're making excuses, sir.
I literally just blanked out on the call, but because I was using my hotspot on my phone.
Uh-huh.
And so I had to switch and see if our house internet will work. But
well, we're done anyways.
We got to get that figured out.
Yep. It's only good in the mornings, so it doesn't matter.
Yep.
If only you knew a guy, right? If only you knew a guy.
Patrick.
you'd think you know a guy.
You think your friends are your friends, right?
Yep.
I know two guys, three guys. I would jerry-rigged line across my yard.
Oh, that's funny. But that's the sponsor for today's show. Today, like I said, we have our new friend Drew on, and we just basically talk about his background in coyote hunting, some of his favorite gear, and you know, some calls.
Different states he's gone to.
Yeah, we kind of talk about a little bit of everything about Drew's past.
It's really just an introduction to Drew.
Who is Drew? Who is he? The Predator Hunter Drew. Yeah, that's what it is. It's an autobiography.
Predator Hunter Profile.
Yeah. There you go.
Oh, did you just think of the name of the show?
Predator Hunter Profile. I like it.
I like it. I like it. I might use that.
Yep. Write that down.
You're welcome. I will take my copyright payment at any time.
Yeah. Just don't cash it.
Cool.
Ever.
Not till Trailer Camp Tuesday.
That's a thing.
Okay.
All right.
Let's get into the show.
This is the Missouri Woods and Water Podcast. Okay, with us tonight, we've got Drew Slim. I think I said that right. With the Predator Podcast. Drew, you were an easy find, man. Easy find. All I had to do was search predator hunting, and there you were.
Well, thank
you. How's it going?
Well, I appreciate it. I'm glad you guys found me, and I'm glad to be here.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Actually, I just listened to your show with our friend Corey Groff earlier today. I'm like two episodes behind still. And he's a good guy, isn't he?
Yeah, he's awesome. He was an awesome guest to have on, and yeah, he's just a great dude.
Yeah, he's got a lot of knowledge to share, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And if you guys don't know, he's got a YouTube channel also on his own, the 417. So if you guys ain't following him, you need to. He puts a lot of good stuff out there.
Kills a lot of
bobcats. I keep up with his videos.
Awesome.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, today's show, like we said, Drew is the host of the Predator Podcast. Obviously, us three, Andy, me, and Micah, are predator hunting freaks. You know, we like to enjoy it. And we were talking a little bit about that before we started. But it's kind of cool to talk to another person who runs a podcast that has that same passion. And we found you, Drew. So kind of what I was thinking of tonight, we just kind of talk about like your background with coyote hunting. I learned something on your show with Corey that you don't get just hunt bobcats in Wisconsin like we do here in Missouri. You got to draw a tag for a bobcat. But we will talk about that because I won't spoil it.
But
he did draw his first bobcat tag this year, and things happened either good or bad. We'll talk about that here in a while. But what I kind of thought was just kind of like a coyote hunter profile, man, and just talk about like how you got into it, what some things you like to do, some of your gear, that sort of stuff. So how long you been coyote hunting and what got you into it?
Well, I think I shot my first one officially when I was 12. I think I was going, you know, when I was a little younger, tagging along with my dad, following him and his buddies around. But I think I shot my first one when I was 12. I still honestly still remember it, the whole thing and, you know, everything about it. But so I guess from there, you know, it just kind of progressed into, you know, we just kept on hunting. And man, back then we didn't kill too many. I mean, we called coyotes in all the time. And I just think back, you know, now and look back on all the coyotes that we called in and didn't kill. You know, and I just think that we, you know, I've said before, but like, we just didn't have all these resources that there is nowadays, which I'm sure you guys did the same thing. But like, we just totally learned on the fly what we were doing. We learned by screwing up. Like we didn't, you know, I had watched like Randy Anderson's videos back in the day, but, I had played that Randy Anderson calling all coyotes video on my PlayStation 2, like 300 times, you know, and like, that was all I had. And we just totally learned on the fly and, you know, learned by screwing everything up. So, I mean, I don't know. I guess I've been going for probably 17 years or so. I've probably been really hard at it for 10. I mean, I would we always went, you know, a fair amount when I was younger, but like once I got to high school and I could drive and, you know, that's when I started getting more serious about it. And then of course, when I was in college, I had a school schedule and a hunting schedule. So obviously at that point it, sort of progressed even more. And then, started my podcast a couple years ago. I started traveling and hunting coyotes in other places, I think maybe three or four years ago. And yeah, I'd say so. I would say in the past 5 years, like really been super serious about it. And
yeah,
I like to think occasionally occasionally you have days where you feel like you know what you're doing. And then, you know, the next day you feel like you couldn't call one in a pen.
We just talked about this. Oh, Andy, go ahead.
I was going to say they humble you real quick. That's for sure.
Yeah. We just talked about this.
Yes, they do.
Our thermal season started February 1st, and we had a night. I wasn't with them, but yep. Micah and them had a night where, like, every stand they were on, it was doubles, triples, quads.
It went double, 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 triple, quad on each stand. It was one of the best nights I've ever been on, for sure. We didn't get all those truck, or we didn't, all those dogs didn't make it to the back of the truck,
yeah.
But it was a fun night. And then
the very next night, didn't see a single coyote on a stand. You know, just, you know, what changes? You know, because the conditions were very similar. Nothing was really.
I'd love to figure that part out.
I know, it's so aggravating, because you just don't know. And it's weird that you think about when you first started coyote hunting, and I'm not going to make assumptions for you, but if you tell me you don't have one, I would be surprised. Like, I can't believe at one point in time, all three of us, we all hunted coyotes without a suppressor. Like, it was normal. Like, we just went out and hunted coyotes. And now that we have suppressors, every time we're out hunting and, you know, stuff goes crazy, you're just like, I cannot believe we used to do this unsuppressed. You know, that it's just weird, the evolution of
totally
the predator
agree
hunter.
With you guys.
You know, especially at night. Remember that, Andy, the first year we went night hunting, and we were all still waiting on our suppressors, and we went hunting at night without them, and it was like you would get done with the stand and you would feel like you just broke a bunch of laws, even though you didn't, just because of all the noise you made. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Nope, I totally know what you're saying.
Yep. What's your thermal season like? You guys have an actual season, or is it year round? What's Wisconsin?
Wisconsin's unlimited all year. Doesn't matter if it's deer. Well, where I'm at, it doesn't matter if it's deer season. Doesn't matter if it's rifle season. It's 24/7, 365 here. If you get north of here, there's you can't hunt during the 9 day and stuff like that, but yeah, down where I'm at, it's 24/7, 365.
It's probably best that it's not like that around here, because I would probably, you know, I'd be struggling at work a lot more than I am
right
now.
That's a good point.
You know, because I enjoy night hunts, just easier to do for me, you know, with the family and kids and things like that. So I love thermal season. But I do wish that they would extend it, because right now we just have February, March. That's
it. 8 weeks.
Yeah. And so it's a little short.
It's like 8 weeks, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. A little short, in my opinion. Hopefully they change those things, but who knows?
Right. Yeah, it'd be fun. But how do you balance that? How do you balance the type of hunting you're going to do, since you can do it all year long? How do you handle that? And do you hunt other game too?
Yeah, well, so I pretty much hunt coyotes basically from anywhere from the end of November to the beginning of December until the end of March, pretty hard. And then I probably won't hunt them really at all in April and May. So I'll be turkey hunting. I'll be going, you know, pretty much hard turkey hunting pretty much every day for the whole season. I'll go to South Dakota this spring for a week and stuff like that. So I'll get after the turkeys pretty hard. And then I'll probably start hunting coyotes again a little bit here and there, like starting maybe around like June 15th. I'll probably hunt here and there when it's nicer out and it's not too hot, or, you know, but I probably will only hunt them at night for the most part in the summer. And I really, I wouldn't necessarily prefer to hunt them in the summer, but there's just certain areas, and spots that just seem to produce in the summer, and spots that I am able to, you know, get into in the summer and have success versus not in the winter. And especially it's turning a lot more spots like that just due to the sheer number of people that are hunting nowadays.
Right.
So
I'll, summertime I'll dogs hit different, probably identify. Sure.
Yeah. I'll definitely try to identify spots that are more pressured in the winter, and I won't hunt them in the winter, and I'll just say I'll hit them, you know, once or twice in the summer. Or like if I have, I got like a couple landowners that like, there's coyotes everywhere, they're terrible, you know, they are always texting me, calling me, dude, there's coyotes everywhere, they're loud, they're whatever, they're this, they're that. Well, I can go out there and call them, you know, every day of the week, and the problem is they let other people do the same thing. Right. So I can go out there and call and I'll see them, but they'll just go out and sit on a hill, you know, 500 yards away, and they won't even bother coming in. So spots like that where I'm trying to help them out too and do it to the best I can. And I just, some of them spots, I really feel like my best chance is to shoot them in the summer and before they get pressured, or, you know, before everybody else starts hunting them.
We just had that conversation.
But then, yeah, I guess I'll start whitetail hunting.
Yeah. I was going to say that's where, I mean, I whitetail hunt, I think all three of us
do. Yeah,
all three
of us. Listened to your guys' podcast, Collins, and that was,
yeah, we talk about
that was,
you know,
awesome.
Other people putting pressure on them is, you know, I mean, you can't really, well, number one, you can't predict what's going on around the properties that you are hunting, or even the property that you are hunting sometimes. Like you said, those landowners, yep, might give four other guys permission too, and there might have been dudes there 2 days in a row right before you were, and you didn't know it, you know. But I would love to, going back to your night season, I would love to hunt dogs at night in the summertime.
Yeah, that's got to be, I would think they're just,
yeah,
hauling ass into that call. I could be wrong, but I would think that you just get a lot of hard chargers.
You can come to Wisconsin and you can.
Sounds like we need to make a trip, boys.
So we actually had this idea.
It's not that far from you guys.
No, it's not. We actually had this idea, especially southern Wisconsin. It's like 6 hours probably. But
yep.
Andy had this idea originally, I believe. I think I'm giving the correct person credit, but if I'm not, Andy, correct me. Of a western,
I'll take it.
A western coyote tour. So we go out west elk hunting every year. And
yep,
we've talked about one of these years, instead of elk hunting, going on like a 2-week coyote trip where we just go, you know, Kansas, Colorado, New Mexico, Arizona. I don't even know what states. We haven't even mapped it. But just doing that, because that's something I think all of us want to do, is hunt coyotes other places. So we're kind of jealous that you travel. So what are the states that you've been to coyote hunting so far outside of Wisconsin?
I've been to I go to Kansas every year. I've hunted them in Arizona. I'm going to South Dakota, and I should go to like Southeast Minnesota, just cause it's only a few hours away and you don't need a license. It's like, you can just pop over to Southeast Minnesota and hunt just like, you know, just like you're in Wisconsin. So nice. I should go there. I guess I've hunted Illinois too, obviously, cause it's right here, but I'm like 20 miles from the Illinois border.
Okay.
But can't use suppressors or anything in Illinois anymore. So I probably won't hunt there ever again.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Count me out.
That state is going to,
yeah. Count me out.
Yeah. I'm good on that. I'm like a suppressor snob.
Yeah, no, I would
totally
do that though if I was you guys.
No. So we should be going to Kansas here soon. I need to get with that guy. It's like Southeast Kansas, I think we're going, and we've have an invitation to Oklahoma, you know, and we want to do it just because it's cool. It'd be cool to see dogs in different places, you know, how they react to certain things. You know, for the most part, the three of us hunt the same type of coyote. You know, like all the coyotes we hunt are in decently pressured areas. Yeah. And I mean, we're even hunting probably the same dogs, you know, for the most part, even if, you know, like Andy might have a farm yeah. right here and Nate has a farm two, you know, miles away that are probably the same dogs, you know, or whatnot. So it'd be kind of cool to just like, right. just go 6 hours away and see dogs, you know, a different way. But unfortunately, all three of us have these things called kids in a family that make that travel harder.
Yep.
So, are you a single man right now? Well, yeah, what's your situation?
Yeah, that and what type of job do you have that you can travel to all these different states?
I'm married. I have a 2.5-year-old at home, so she's a ball of fire right now. And I work. I sell apparel for a living. My office is like 6 miles from my house. So I kind of have the ability to be in and out of the office. You know, I can work from my phone. I can, you know, as long as I take care of my stuff and, you know, make sales, yeah. all good.
Nice.
There you go. There awesome. You go.
So what's the secret to, you know, getting your wife to let you leave? Do you just, like, piss her off and she kicks you out? How does it work?
Well, you know, see, so I go to Montana elk hunting in the fall, too. So, yeah, so I go elk hunting in the fall or, you know, middle of September, and then come back here and I'll start bow hunting hard until, you know, the rut's over or whatever. But yeah, I don't know. The thing is like, I've always done this. I've always right. been this way. So she got into it. So, yeah. That's what I like to think. But, yeah, I mean, I certainly don't go and do as much as I used to. And, you know, I've had to just find ways to utilize my time better. And, you know, I definitely don't hunt as many days of the week as I used to. I used to probably hunt, you know, I would hunt every day if I could. But, yeah, I probably, you know, hunt, you know, 2-3 times a week, or, you know, a morning here and a morning there and an evening here and, you know, just kind of mixing up this. You know, kind of, I go out a lot at like 2 a.m, you know, and hunt until it's daylight out just because it works the best for, you know, my family and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I've also found that that's the time of day no one else is hunting.
Everybody's yeah. done by then.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good yeah. point. Except Andy, didn't you and Austin go out at like 3 a.m. a couple weeks ago? Or opening day. Yeah.
Opening day, we went up and got up at, you know, 3 and hunt until daylight.
Yeah, I think my exact words were, you two were, screw that.
I don't have a problem starting at, you know.
Starting at a certain time.
Yeah, starting at dark or whatever and going till 3 o'clock in the morning. But I don't know if I could, I mean, I could, but I don't want to start at 3 o'clock in the morning.
It's the getting up part.
Yeah.
That would not be fun, I think.
I used to do that for quite a while where I had to wake up at like 2:30 in the morning to go to work, and I don't have to do that no more, and it's nicer.
Yeah, I'm too stubborn. I'm too stubborn, and like I'm too stubborn. Like, we were in Kansas, and I think we added it up. We slept for 10 hours in the 4 days we were there, The last morning we were there, my alarm was going off, and I was like, guys, come on, we got to go with three of my buddies. And I'm like, come on, we got to get up. Let's go. After we slept for like an hour and a half.
Dear Lord.
Couldn't get them up that day, but I wanted to go, and I was chomping at those guys. We got to go. But no, it's all good. I don't know what it is. I just, once I get going, I can't stop, and I am too stubborn to quit.
So, like, with all your travels and everything that, what has been your favorite state to hunt in?
Kansas, probably Kansas for sure. I love Kansas. I wish I could go there 5 times a year, especially as the hunting gets harder and harder and harder here. I wish I could go back there multiple times, but I went twice last year. But I'm only gonna go once this year. Yeah. I already went, but I wish I could go 5 more times, like I said.
That's
why
I feel
Montana's
like...
awesome.
Oh, yeah. I bet it would be. I bet it would be. Yeah. I feel like we're dropping the ball as the three of us because we live like an hour from Kansas and we have yet to hunt coyotes in Kansas.
Well, that's my next question. Are you hunting like private ground or are you going public?
Like when we started going to Kansas, we pretty much started out hunting public. The first year we went down there, we just, you know, didn't really know anything or whatever. We just went down there. There's obviously a ton of walk-in hunting down there. So we just started out hunting public. I think we killed one dog the first year we went and we saw so many and heard so many and just like, it was just a totally different experience from what I'm used to. And we were like, oh my God, this is awesome. We got to go back. Well, we ended up doing the classic, just go to the bars and meet people. And we met some people down there. One thing led to another. And now we just have, all kinds of ground to hunt. And we hunt some public during the day. Because you can't hunt public at night in Kansas, but
right.
So we hunt a lot of public during the day just so we can hammer as many spots as we can at night. But now we've gotten to the point where we could pretty much do either or hunt mostly private if we wanted to, but there's still a lot of really good public spots that we found. So
that's pretty sweet.
Glad we did that too.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet, man. Okay. So getting to know Drew. Let's go through some gear. That's one of my favorite things. Whitetail podcast or not podcast. Why do I keep saying that? Predator hunting. I love talking about gear. I'm kind of a gear nerd. So, let's start with the most important part of a predator hunter. Not really, but it's very important. Your rifle. What is your rifle of choice?
My daytime rifle, I used a 22-250. I shot my first coyote when I was 12 with a 22-250. And I went to a 223 for a couple years and then I came back and now I haven't switched yet. And this has been 4 or 5 years now. I came back.
What is,
and then
what
at
is
night
your...
I use a 22 Nosler.
22 Nosler at night. Okay. Nice. What's your 22-250? What is it?
Like what? It's a Thompson Center Venture.
Oh, nice.
People will refer to it as a Walmart gun.
I don't know.
That's weird. That. When I hear Thompson Center, I don't think Walmart.
Yeah, I wouldn't think it'd be. Is it just a cheaper gun or something?
I mean, it's like they don't even make it anymore, but it was probably like a $600-700 gun, but
yeah.
Thing shoots so good. I've had others and it just shoots so good. That's all I can say. Just shoots really good. And
it's pretty comparable to like the Ruger American Predator series. I feel like,
I would say
mid-range budget gun, but do they shoot lights out?
Yep.
Hell yeah.
So if you listen to our show with John that came out today, we're recording this the day John's show came out for next week. John got me all worked up after he talked about his rate of twist that he prefers in his 22-250s.
Yeah.
And now I'm all freaked out that my rate of twist is not one of the two that he prefers. So did you... do you know what your rate of twist is on your Thompson, and does it bother you that it?
Yeah, it's a 1 in 12.
So is mine. So does it shoot good?
That's what mine is, 1 in 12.
Yeah, but I shoot a 50-grain bullet. So
yeah,
I mean, I shoot a 50-grain bullet and I reload. That's the best shooting. I mean, I have never had trouble shooting coyotes. I mean, it drops them. It anchors them. I mean, it stuns them and tips them right over.
Yeah.
I do have in this box right here by my gun cabinet, there's a 1 in 8 twist in that box right there.
I like that. Well, it's just funny because I immediately after we got off with John, I went and looked and I'm like, damn it, it's 1 in 12. But I'm shooting 55s out of mine because my 22-250 is an AR-10. It's a Spade composite AR-10 platform. And I didn't know this. I think I've told this before on our show. I didn't know this at the time, and I'll make it quick. I bought 50 grain Hornady Super Performances for that gun initially.
Yep.
Well, Super Performances are not made for gas guns. I found that out the hard way. Nothing really went bad. It just didn't cycle correctly, and I could turn the gas down. I could turn the gas up. Right. It wouldn't matter. It wouldn't cycle. It shot really good for that one shot, but it just wouldn't cycle. And I found out that Super Performance is made for bolt guns, not for gas guns. So I learned that. But so I bumped up to 55s, and they've shot really good since then. But well, hey, that's good to know. And you said your night gun is a 22 Nosler. So how'd you get into that?
Yep, that's an AR platform. I built it myself, and it's got like an Odenwerks barrel, and I don't even know. It's got like, you know, different odds and ends parts, like from Arrow and from Rock River Arms, and different things cobbled together. It shoots really, really good. I shoot the 53 grain VMAX in that, and I got into it. One of my buddies and like his buddy had shot him, and I just liked the idea of an AR platform, and it was as close to as I could get to a 22-250 in an AR platform
without being an AR-10.
Those AR-10s, man. I mean,
heavier.
They're just too much to carry around, in my opinion. I know that a lot of people use them and they do awesome, but
it's not.
It's I don't want to carry it around.
It's definitely heavier than AR-15.
Yeah,
for nighttime. Sorry, we're lagging a little bit. For nighttime, I can see what Mike is talking about. Like, my nighttime gun's an AR-15. His is. Andy, what are you shooting at night right now, dude? I don't even know what your thermal's on right now.
Don't worry about it. No, I'm just kidding. It's on that 6.5 Creedmoor at the moment, but I'm contemplating moving it over to my 243.
Gotcha.
Why not the 6 Arc?
To be truthful with you, I'm not comfortable in the grouping of that gun right now.
Yeah, he was talking. He don't like those 103s out of it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Which, and I haven't.
I don't disagree.
I haven't messed with. I'm waiting on. I'm waiting. I haven't pulled the trigger. I want to go do some testing and get some 108. See if that likes it better. And I know those 87. I think 85 or 87 grains are supposed to be coming out in the 6 Arc. So I'm going to get a box of those and just see what it likes. And
I've been waiting for those 87s. I mean, my 103s are shooting fine, but when the 87s come out, I'm going to move to them, assuming they shoot all right. But I can definitely see what Mike is saying. I mean, for nighttime, like at least the way we hunt, and I'm assuming, Drew, you're similar, we'll put our guns on our tripods at the truck, and we shoulder the tripod with the gun on it, and we're walking in. You know, we're pretty minimalistic at nighttime, right? We got our drags in our – we put our paint – you know, I got pockets in my pants. I put my drag in there. I carry my call or whatever, sling it. Got a, you know, headlamp on in my pocket. Like, we don't have a lot with us at night. So we just tripod our guns and go. So an AR-15 is nice because it's lighter, and you just run right in.
Right.
What type of tripod are you using? Or are you using a tripod? Are you using sticks, or – what's going on?
So I'm not a tripod guy, but I'm not going to lie. I am starting to consider coming over to the dark side, because I've missed like probably 3 or 4 now this year that I normally don't miss, just simply because I wasn't steady. And it's just starting to grind my gears a little bit.
So what are you using, like, at the moment?
So I use a bipod, and then I like will use my scanner, you know, and I sit down just like I'm day hunting, basically, and use my scanner, you know, and then I'll just get on my sticks, basically just like I'm day hunting, you know.
Right.
Obviously running a scanner at night, but it's very similar. But I've missed a couple, like in that 200 to like 300 range that I normally would not. And like I missed one the other night, and like my crosshairs are, you know, doing this one, and I missed, and just a little frustrating. Especially, you know, again, not to keep beating the drum, but especially things are getting harder, and missing opportunities and, you know, fueling the fire, making it harder on myself is not a great recipe for success. So it's making me take a look at it for sure.
I mean, absolutely. Tripods are awesome, but they also come with their own set of annoyances. Like they're bigger. So you got this thing to carry in that I guarantee is bigger than your bipod, no matter what bipod you're using. So, you know, that's one thing you got to deal with. And then, you know, at night, I don't have this issue. In the daytime, though, if you're set up, okay, let's say you're set up and you're hoping the coyotes are going to come from your front, obviously, right? You want them to come in where you're set up. Every once in a while, though, coyotes do what coyotes do, and they, excuse me, surprise you. And next thing you know, they're straight to your left, and you've got to make a quick movement. Well, that quick movement is not as quick as it is with your bipod at it for our tripods. You know, I'll pick my tripod up and just set it back down. It is not like it's hard, but it's harder than what you're doing. So, you know, I mean, it comes with its own set of problems, but I like the tripod just because it's the most steady thing you're going to use for your shot, outside of being on a sled, which obviously if you could do it, sure.
Yeah.
But how are you going to do that, you know, while you're hunting? So,
yeah. Yeah. I don't foresee switching for daytime. I'm pretty set in my daytime situation, but it's at night where I've noticed the difference. And obviously things happen, you know, and you get surprised occasionally at night, but it doesn't seem to happen as much. And I don't hunt by myself, so it's not really, you know, usually things don't get super crazy and surprise at night. So, you know, obviously occasionally it does, but it just typically you just don't run into those situations as much in the day as you do in the daylight, in my opinion. But
right. Right. Just to go a little bit more into the gear side of things, what scope are you running during the day, and then go ahead and get into whatever thermal you're running at night?
So my day gun, I have a Vortex Viper HSLR. It's a 4 to 16, I think, as a top dial, which I like because then I can, for longer shots, I can dial it up, you know, if I need to or want to. I like that. And then my nighttime gun, I have an IRA Bolt TH50C on it, and I've been pretty impressed with that so far. I really don't have any complaints, honestly. So yeah, I really like it.
Yeah.
The only errors I've had in it have been in the operator. So
You won't have any issues. You know, when I had my IRA stuff, it was really good. I didn't have the Bolt. I had the Ricoh. And Andy and I both at one point in time had the Micro, right, Andy? Micro, is that correct?
Yeah, it was the RL, the 384
yeah,
Micro.
The RL, yeah, that's right. And the little, it's the scanner /
scope.
You could use it as a scope as well.
Yeah.
And yeah, nothing but good things to say about them too. And you know, our new Athlon stuff, this is our first year, obviously, for the three of us all using our Athlon thermals because it's their first year with a thermal. Super clear picture. Really some features on it I like better than my iRays, like for instance the zoom.
Yeah, the zoom's sweet.
Spin zoom it instead of clicking a button. You can just turn a dial and it just like your daytime scope almost. Although it's really soft and easy to do and it's right on the side of the thermal. That's really, really nice. So that has allowed me to get rid of picture in picture because I don't need it. I can just zoom real quick on the dog. That's really nice. The reticles it has, I'm really a fan of the one reticle I'm using that, have you noticed all the damn color options too, Andy, Micah?
Yeah, I've been messing around with it.
Blue and all these different reticle color options that I'm sure some people probably use, but, so that's pretty cool. But yeah, the IRA, man.
Can't go wrong.
I heard a lot of good things about the Bolt as well.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with an IRA.
Yeah, mine has the dial zoom as well, so I don't use picture in picture either. I just dial zoom.
I took mine off.
I like that. Yeah. I'm gonna. I think I'm gonna get something new, soon. Hopefully, with the new stuff that came out, we'll see. But I think I'm gonna hopefully get my hands on one of the new ones here in March to try out for a while and see.
Sweet. Yeah. Okay. So we got rifle. Not tripod. Scope. What about your daytime pack setup? How are you getting in and out? What are you using? Like, do you sling your gun? How are you packing in and out of your sets?
Okay, this is a good one because I just changed this year, or just like before, I think Christmas time I did. So I had always been like a sling my gun over my shoulder, you know, throw my chair over my shoulder, gun chair. Then I have my call in one hand, you know, and I got just kind of sick of carrying everything. It was just all kind of clunky. You know, I don't know. I got sick of it, basically just sick of carrying all that stuff. So I got an Eberle stock gun runner, backpack at Christmas time.
Yep.
And
right on.
Now I put my chair right in the bag. I put my gun in the rifle scabbard.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to strap my call onto it, but it just didn't go ever really smooth. So I just started carrying my call. So basically I had everything in my back, and I just had my call in my hand, and that has been really nice. I tried it at night, but I ended up stopping using it at night just because it was at night. You're kind of way more in and out, and your stands are
right
shorter. You're not walking as far, you know, those types of things. So I just found myself like it was more of a hassle to put my stuff in and out. So I don't use it at night, but in the daytime, yeah, I love it so far. It's been awesome. I love not having to carry my rifle over my back, and it's so nice to carry
nothing. Yeah. Right on. I mean, Andy has firsthand knowledge of this. He hunts with our buddy Austin. Andy hunts with him all the time. Me and Micah less, but I was hunting with Andy and Austin a few weeks ago, and there were some times that we walked a decent amount into some sets, and by the time, you know, I'm a sling my rifle type of guy too, and by the time we get there, you know, like your biceps like a little tight, and you're just like, this is annoying. And then Austin has an Eberle stock. What is it, Andy? An X2 or I don't remember which one.
I thought it was the gun runner, but I could be wrong.
Maybe it is the gun. I don't remember which one. It's got the scabbard. And he's just, shoo, gone. He's got nothing in his hands. Rifle's on his back, and he's gone.
Yeah.
Then when our set would get done.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
Through the tripod, yeah.
Exactly. Then our set would get done, and, you know, it would take him a touch longer than Andy and I to get ready to go, but then he is gone because he, you know, has nothing to carry. Where I've got my rifle shouldered, and then I'm also carrying my tripod, if I remember correctly, in that hunt, because I was trying a different setup. And by the end of the day, I was like, Austin, I definitely see what you mean now. I definitely see what you mean. So, yeah, you know, if you need your gun quickly, that's the one negative to it, because it would take you longer to get your gun out of that pack than it would Andy or Micah and I to grab our gun from our shoulder. But how often does that happen, you know, really, that you have a—
It hasn't happened to me yet.
It's happened a few times. Andy had a shot a few years ago that he to this day talks about because it lost them a tournament or whatnot, and you know, he was able to take a quick shot. I don't know if he would have got off that shot had his gun been on his back. I wasn't there. But he's talked about it before. So, but think about it. Handful of times in how many years that you've actually been able to get a shot off on a coyote while you're walking in or out. Typically, you
honestly
scare them up and they're gone, or they're so far away that you can't even attempt a shot anyways.
Yeah. Honestly, if I hunted by myself, I think I would consider not— or I would see it way more as an issue, but I always have my buddies with me or my dad or somebody. And like I said, I'm never by myself. So everybody else has their guns ready. So I'm like, screw it. If worst case scenario, if we do jump something up or see something going in, they can shoot it. Like, it's all good with me.
Yeah, good point. Good point.
That's kind of where I am with because Austin can't get to his fast. So I sling mine, but I do it across my chest. It's just easier for me. I don't have to. I feel I can be hands free. I don't have to walk and hold something. And so the one he was talking about,
yep.
I literally dropped to a knee and I unclipped one of the QAD rests and I was able to get off a shot. Like the other guy that was with us, he had his on his back and he couldn't get to it. Like it was just a boom, boom, weird deal. I missed, but I did have a fraction of a second to take a shot.
Yeah.
And it's happened once or twice to where, like, I don't know, I started carrying my tripod also. So I'll have my gun slinged across the chest. Everything else in my backpack, and I'll carry the tripod. And there's been some instances I've been able to throw the tripod out real quick, put the gun on it, and get a decent shot off. So
yeah, Andy, you're one of the few one, actually the only one I've ever met that. So when he slings his gun, his barrel is downward, right? So he's like carrying it like, imagine a military guy the way they carry some of their rifles sometimes, right? You know, like that's what it kind of looks like to me.
Yep.
And he can pull it off because he's 6'6". I tried doing
it. Helps being taller.
Yeah. Remember when I tried doing that when we were hunting together last year?
barrels
just dragging the freaking ground. I'm like, I don't think this is going to work for me.
It just works because when I have my backpack, and my backpack was used to carry my tripod on it. And so the legs and you had everything back there and the gun was back there. There's just too much stuff behind me that I couldn't control, like stuff banging together where it was. So across my chest just kind of fit naturally for it. And that's how I do it now.
Yeah. Okay. How about your collar? What kind of collar do you use or collars?
You can't tell. I can tell by the sweatshirt.
Oh, I can't see a sweatshirt.
I have the Lucky Duck Revolt. Yeah. Yeah, I've had that for, I think, three years or so.
So that's the Coyotes Fear Me, isn't it, hoodie?
Yep.
I can see it now. Andy's okay. Got the same one.
Yep, me too.
Yeah. Nice. So do a lot of folks, like, up in your area in Wisconsin, because I see kind of a split down here where we are between Fox Pro and Lucky Duck. I really don't see anything else. I don't think I've met a guy down in our area that runs like an Icotec right now or
Calder.
Calder?
He's ran them before. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Calder.
Currently?
He's got one. Yeah.
I don't know what he runs. I think he runs all three, really, but he runs one.
Okay, there's one. Do you see like a kind of a split up there, like between Fox Pro callers, Lucky Duck callers? Do you see a lot more of one or the other?
If I had to give you a guess, I would say it's probably 80% Lucky Duck.
Really?
There's probably 20-25% with the Fox Pro, and then there is a very few. I do hear a few Icotecs occasionally. But most of it, the issue I'm running into right now is I'm pretty sure everybody that hunts places that I hunt uses Lucky Duck.
See? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I feel like that's backwards from down here.
Yeah, down here I would say it's Fox Pro heavy, heavy, heavy.
Yeah.
There are some Lucky Ducks, like each of us has one because of what you just said, Drew. Like, if everybody's got a Fox Pro and everybody's running, you know, Fox Pro sounds, MFK sounds, which are badass, by the way, and I definitely have them. It's nice to maybe just like switch it up every once in a while, and maybe it's a sound that the Coyotes don't hear. But at the same time, I hear that argument. But like, for instance, my X24, I have 900 freaking sounds on that thing. I could totally change my entire calling strategies, and the Coyotes would not hear the same sounds again. You know what I'm saying? So sometimes I think we overthink things based on like, well, this brand, they won't hear it. Well, you could do the same thing with your call. I think it's just a excuse for us to buy more shit, probably more than anything, which is cool, you know, whatever. But, you know, because the X48's coming out too.
You switch it up again.
Yeah.
But I get it.
I got one good story for you about that. is so like I mentioned, there's you know, people that hunt some places that I hunt and whatever. It's all good, but it makes it a little more difficult. And there's a farm that I used to hunt there that I hunted. This would have been whatever, a few years ago. I killed, I hunted it three times that one year or one winter and killed five coyotes. And since then, I have not called in or heard a howl on that farm since then.
Hmm.
So I had my buddy down, my buddy Wyatt Barber, who is like on the eastern side of the state. He hunts coyotes all over hell. He's in Nevada right now. He came over and hunted with me one night, and I'm like, dude, bring your call. I want to take you to this spot, and I just want to see what difference it makes. He has a X24 and the MFK sounds, whatever. I'm like, I'm taking him to this spot. It's full of coyotes. Like, I know it's full of coyotes because, you know, people hear them there and see them and whatever else. I'm like, just use your call here. You just call it. I just want to see, you know, what difference it does make. Well, that they lit up and went absolutely nuts for the first time there in over a year. And I'm not saying that if I would have called there that night, of course, maybe they would have, but they lit up, and of course they still didn't come in. They just went and sat on the hill and looked at us, but we still got, I guess, somewhat of a reaction versus I went there this the other day with my call, didn't hear, see a thing.
Hmm. You know, there's something to be said, like with Tori's calls, what I like, and Tori said this in our show with him, and then I started doing it a few times. I haven't seen like the results of it. I mean, you know, nothing has happened in those situations, but it makes sense. So Tori obviously has coyotes. He doesn't own any coyotes, but
yep.
He has easy access to get coyotes recorded. And when you order a call from him, you get a preloaded, you know, whatever Fox Pro you get. You can go through and you can say, let's say, Bougie. Isn't she one of the coyotes, I think? Is that her name?
I think so.
Well, you can go through all of her sounds. So you can do like a Bougie invite and then a whatever. And you can just kind of work through, and it's all the same coyote. Well, that makes so much sense if I'm a coyote somewhere else and I'm hearing a coyote, and then I hear a different coyote, and then I hear a third coyote, or you hear the exact same coyote every single time doing different things. It resonated with me that
it paints a better picture.
It paints a better picture in that situation to me. I would see where that would work better in certain times. So, you know, I've tried that a few times this year, and I feel like would have worked when we screwed up on that quad. That's what I was going to start doing.
Right. Well, I mean, it makes sense because, like, coon hunters and stuff, like some of the ways they used to do competitions, you'd let the dogs out, and the first one to bark or howl would be the winner or whatever. Well, the owner had to know what the dog sounded like. So each dog has its own different sound. Its coyotes are going to be the same way. They're all going to have their own different sound.
Yep.
And if you can paint a picture with one dog or two dogs, however many dogs you want to do, I mean, it makes it more realistic.
Right. Makes sense. Okay. So to the calls, this is always...
Yeah, I think that the only thing I was going to add to that is, like, if you listen to that Fox Pro podcast with John Collins and Terry Cook, from this past, like, it was early January, I think, they did about breeding. That, like, totally changed a lot of my mindset of, like, how I called and did vocals. Just, like, it's so informational, and the things they say about things like you're saying, like, about, you know, knowing the sound of different coyotes and being able to tell the gender and so on and so forth. But, yeah, that was just a super interesting thing that I thought was really helpful for me.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, we'd be remiss not to ask this question, too. So, it's February 6th. So, you get off this podcast with us tonight, and you're going night hunting, okay? Maybe you are, but we're going to pretend like you are.
Yep.
We're going tomorrow night, I think. What's your setup? How are you going to What are you going to start with tonight, and how do you progress right now where you're at? How do you handle your calling strategy?
Well, I'm gonna always have in my head, if I've called it before, I will always have in mind what I did there before. If I can remember, which I normally do, or have some idea of what I did there before. And if someone else, if I know if it's a pressured spot or not, let's just say general stand. You know, obviously there's a lot of factors that I like to think that I think about and like to think that matter, but if I'm just going to go into a general set, I'm probably going to start out playing Blondie Long Howl. It's probably my favorite, one of my favorite howls to start out with. Probably play that. And then I'm probably going to give it 5 minutes or so, maybe two if I get antsy. I'll maybe get a response, maybe not. Then I'll probably play a pair howl. I'll probably play what's a pair that I like a lot. I like this Psyche Runt pair.
Mm-hmm.
I play that. I like that. Probably play that next, or a pair howl of some kind. I don't always think that like one that, makes a big difference.
Mr. T pair howl. I like that one.
Mr. T, I use that one too. Yeah, I use that one, and I got like pair howl 8. It's a new one. I got that one. I use that one occasionally. And then I'll probably, after that, I like to think I have a feeling at that point, like, okay, did something howl? Do I think there's something close? Like, did I see something? You know, I don't know. But at that point, if it's a pressured spot, I'll skip any distress sounds probably, and I'll go into like, right now I'm probably going to play like, I like Talking Dirty, or like, if you guys are familiar with that one, I usually will play that just to kind of give something different. Then I would probably go to like some kind of a pup fight or a, you know, a breed fight, like your general, a Lucky Duck one is Schoolyard Brawl, but I like Sig kicking ass and Goober kicking ass.
Yeah.
I like both those. And then if nothing's still happening, I might try another sort of like serenade howl or something if I'm trying to get something to howl. And then I might play rabbit, or I might play, you know, just a different, like I'll play stuck fight sometime, like this time of year, like stuck fight. Like there's a male and a female that are stuck and they're, you know, another male trying to get in on it or whatever.
By the way,
that's probably generally what I'll do.
What a shitty feeling for a dude, right? Like you're stuck and another guy's trying to kick your ass.
Yeah.
Poor guy. Let him enjoy himself.
I can see why that sound would work.
Yeah. Right.
Well, the reason I ask, you know, like,
yeah,
we progress kind of in the same manner. Like, you know, that's kind of, I mean, it makes the most sense for a coyote hunter or any predator hunter to progress. You know, you don't knock on someone's door and say, I'm going to kill you. Come answer the door. You knock on the door and say, hey, sir, have I told you about your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? You know, you're nice first. You're nice. So it makes sense, like, the way we're doing it. But, like, I don't know. Lately, I've kind of thought, like, were we together when I did the – I usually don't start with prey and distress, but I started with prey distress, and then I did coyotes yipping. And I was trying to, like, paint a picture that coyotes killed a rabbit, and now they're happy.
Well, I was listening.
You know, join.
I was listening to the Fox Pro today.
Yep.
With John Collins had Big Al on, and they were talking about. They say they start with prey a lot.
Yeah,
start with prey. If we're doing daytime sets, you still got that chance of possibly calling in a bobcat, and if anything, coyote might come in. But after you run your prey for a while, then you switch over to the vocals, and they say that's one of their, you know, main calling sequences.
But like this time of year, that I'm coyote vocal heavy,
right?
You know, and I don't know. It's just you're always, as a caller, you're always thinking of ways to be different so that maybe you can be successful where another guy wasn't on a pressured spot. And sometimes I think that's a good thing. Other times I think, okay, that was dumb. That did not go well, you know? But that's why they call it hunting and not killing, right?
Yeah, I think I sometimes I overthink it a lot. Like I'm always trying, I tried different stuff all the time. Like I'm so hot and cold on rabbit, like distress sounds, like
same
half the time they come flying into it. And then half the time I feel like I just screwed my whole stand by playing it because I wonder if they've heard that sound, you know, 25 other times this year. And did they just decide, hey, that's a hunter, I'm not going over there. So I'm really hot and cold on that, but then it just never fails. Then, you know, then you'll turn shelter belt on and they'll about run you over and you're like, why haven't I been doing that this whole time? So I have a personal battle right now that's going on with rabbit distress calls that I'm trying to work through, but I've been using like ground squirrel and like stinky rat and stuff a lot more this year.
Yeah, I get that. And this year, my X24, I've been doing different. Like, so our night, the other night when we went out, every place we went, I used different coyote sounds because there's so many damn sounds on that call. Because I got mine from MFK, so it all came with all that stuff plus a bunch of Fox Pro stuff. And so every set, I did the same sequence, but I used a different sound every time. Just number one, you're familiarizing yourself with your call, how it sounds out in the open. You know, you can do it in your basement, but you get a headache after a couple of minutes and your wife yells at you. So, you know, you kind of familiarize yourself. Okay, I like this one. That one was a little weird or whatever. But at the end of it, I'm always second guessing myself the second you don't call something in. The first freaking set, you could have the best night of your life, and the first set you have that you don't call you something in, you're like, damn, what did I do wrong?
Yep. Totally.
Andrew, Mr. Other Caller, what do you think about some of that?
Yeah, I mean, basically the exact same stuff I'm doing.
Nice.
I mean, there's not much more to elaborate on. I mean,
well done, sir. Okay, so any other questions for Drew that you can think of? We pretty much went through all the gear that I can think of that I would ask about. Other coyote hunters, we always like to ask about what rifles and all those things. What else? What do you guys? Do you guys got anything else for Drew?
I don't have anything. I think I pretty well got it covered.
Humphield?
I think we got all the gear out of it. Talked about his favorite state to hunt. We've talked about what's your favorite time of year to hunt. I know you mentioned a couple different times, and mine's changed recently just because of my experiences. But what is your favorite time of year to hunt?
I would say definitely my favorite time to hunt is December and the first 15 days of January, I think. And then after that, you know, then I think it gets a little tougher. And then, you know, now right now I noticed this past week it's started to get a little better. But I would say if I could hunt 1 month, it would be December 15th to January 15th, or, you know, December 5th to January 5th, something like that.
Nice. Andy, I think you're talking about the summertime.
Oh yeah, mine's now definitely the summertime. Just that June, July time frame. They just get so super territorial, and I mean, you get them pissed off in the day, and they run in like you do in the thermal season. Like you see that during the day, so that's been that's been fun.
Yeah, and having the decoy dog that even adds to it.
Yeah, so that'd be fun.
You know, our buddy Austin, he runs a decoy dog, so watching that thing works. Yeah, watching that work is pretty cool.
Yep.
Right on, man. Well, Drew, you haven't hunted Missouri yet, so just saying, you got an open invitation to come down and hunt with us. So you need to add another state to it.
Yeah, I drive through there to go to Kansas. So
if you're driving through Missouri to get to Kansas, you are not far from us, I guarantee you.
Yeah, I looked at I think it was recently. I just looked. I was like, I wonder what Missouri like license costs or whatever. Like, maybe make a swing through Missouri. But it's not bad for a
few hundred bucks. I think it was. Yeah, like $200-$300 maybe.
Is it that much?
That was 125. Yeah,
Kansas
is 130.
Really? See, I thought maybe you're right because you had to buy like your trapper deal or something. It was kind of silly. Buy
your small games and then your fur bearer's license. I think.
Yeah, which I don't get the fur bearer's part.
Yeah, because you're not unless you're planning on.
I can't
on,
believe you guys are that close to Kansas and haven't been there yet,
dude. Yeah, we are failures. We are failures. We need to. We definitely we're planning on it soon. But actually, I'll send a text tomorrow. Now that I thought of that,
yeah, there you go.
I'll send a text tomorrow. Well,
If Missouri's got to be pretty decent from that area that goes like that, I go through to go to Kansas. I'm always like, we see coyotes off the road out there, and I'm like, ooh, this looks good too.
No, you'd be wrong, man. There is not a single freaking coyote in this state. So just so you know,
they all get hit by cars.
Well, I didn't see a car for two straight nights hunting in Kansas.
Oh my goodness!
Oh wow, that'd be awesome.
So cool.
I want to go there. It was
unbelievable.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Well,
sometimes you have to wait in between cars to go by so you can howl.
Yeah, cars out of the way, you can shoot now.
Yeah. Or fire here, trucks.
Yeah.
So Drew, before we hop off with you, tell everybody how they can check out your podcast and listen to the cool stuff you do with the Predator Podcast.
Yeah, so I think I'm pretty much available on every major podcast platform. I don't even know all of them, to be honest, but I know like, you know, Apple, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts are some of the few that jump out at me, and there's a whole host more that I don't even know completely. But yeah, wherever you listen to podcasts, if you search Predator Podcast, I've had some pretty good fun episodes this year that were a lot of fun for me to record. I'm going to be at the Wisconsin Sportsman's Expo in end of March, March 22nd to the 24th. So if anybody's going to be there, I'll be there. You'll have to stop by and see me. Other than that, you know, Instagram, Predator_Drew. I try to respond. I get a lot of questions, but I try to respond to everybody and help out anybody that I can, because I was one of those guys once that didn't know what I was doing. So if everybody gets a little better, I feel like it shouldn't be as hard on all of us.
Very true.
I'm with you, man.
Yep. Very true.
Well, Drew with the Predator Podcast, thanks for coming on today and talking about your background, man. We appreciate you.
Yeah, you guys, thanks for having me. We'll have to do it again, and you guys will have to come up to Wisconsin, and I'll have to swing through Missouri and hit you guys when I come by.
Sounds like a plenty of deal.
All right, man. We'll talk to you later.
See you, Drew.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.